Hey, everybody, welcome back to Boozy Bracketology, the show that believes in three things: strong drinks, strong opinions, and crowning champions. And we are here tonight with the Sweet 16. And we are going to be determining which of the fictional bands on the list are moving on to the final episode. We can't do that without our panelists. So we've had some shakeups here recently. I will tell you, I am actually going to be a panelist tonight, as Jason has had some fun times moving into the new house. And if I'm the panelist, I shouldn't be the host. So I went out and got the most beautiful woman that I know, my lovely wife, Leah. Leah, go ahead and introduce us to the rest of the cast.
Yeah, so I'll be hosting tonight, and then I will also be reading the picks for our friend Jeff, who could not be here tonight. So then after Chris goes and then Jeff goes, then we're going to go on to Joel. So Joel, tell us how you're doing and what you're drinking.
I'm doing well. In preparation for Turkey Day tomorrow, because we're recording this the Wednesday before, I am sipping on a Camus Cabernet Sauvignon.
Ooh, so fancy.
One of my favorite wines.
Sounds awesome. All right. So then after Joel, we're going to kick it on over to Mike. So Mike, tell us how you're doing tonight. And if you are drinking something, please share that with us.
Leah, I'm doing good. Like Joel said, it's the Wednesday before Thanksgiving. I got a bunch of family in town, so it's been kind of a crazy evening. But, you know, I got my priorities in order, so I told them all to buzz off. I got some boozy to do.
Awesome.
And I brought a lovely blueberry crumble stout, imperial stout from Highwire Brewing tonight. It's perfect for a nice cold day, which is what this has been.
Great. Well, that sounds very refreshing. And then, so our last panelist tonight is going to be Steven. So Steven, newly married Steven, please tell us how you're doing. And if you are drinking a carbonated beverage tonight, please share that with us.
I am doing well, and I do have a carbonated beverage. As you said, I am doing this as the first recording as a married man. So in the past, I know I've made some jokes about, you know, about getting with other women besides my fiance. I wanted to be known I'm beyond that. I don't want those women anymore. I am now specifically looking for home wreckers, because that's the point I'm at.
Nice.
When my count is zero, we'll get moving on.
Wow.
Okay, well, this is going to be a fun night. I can already feel it. So going into our first pick of the evening, we have the number one seed of Stillwater versus the 5 seed of Nasty Bits. So Chris, you are up first, so please tell us what your pick is.
So part of me wants to make Mike's life a little bit harder and pick against Stillwater. The Nasty Bits, say what you want. The show was terrible. I dug the music. I actually thought the music was a fun part. It was actually the best part of the show. And it sounds like the show is an interesting concept, and it probably should have worked. Maybe it should have gotten another season. Who knows? But I liked the music. But it's freaking Stillwater. Like, they're the number one overall seed for a reason. The entire movie of Almost Famous is circled around that band, and the music is absolutely dope. So no, Stillwater gets my pick, but Nasty Bits put up a little bit of a fight.
All right, so that is one vote for Stillwater. So next up we have Jeff, which I will be reading. This is what Jeff said: Stillwater over Nasty Bits, and I question the sanity of anyone who chooses differently. So with that brings us to two votes for Stillwater. Joel, go ahead and give us your pick.
Yeah, you know, I've talked a lot about, you know, some of the things that I've taken into consideration, you know, are they actually playing the instruments was something that was big for me. You know, the style of the song, would I want to hear them, or would I be willing to pay for a ticket to go see them in concert, that kind of stuff. And, you know, I've got to kind of sit there and go, okay, stylistically as well, that's kind of a big part of this. Nasty Bits, I really like their sound. I really like the songs, and I kind of agree with Chris that they were one of the best parts of that. But man, I'm still kind of a classic rock kind of guy, and Stillwater just hits all those buttons for me. You know, I'll sit there and hum Mindbender or Fever Dog, you know, some of those songs that were great songs from that. So I'm going to go with Stillwater as well.
Okay, and that is your third vote for Stillwater. So that will be moving on to the next round, but we are going to still see what Mike thinks about this. Mike, what do you think?
Oh, Mike got bit by the mute bug. First pick of the night. Buzz.
I don't even care. Chris mentioned that this was. I'm sorry. I got two screaming toddlers in the background, so I was trying to mute myself. Chris mentioned that this is. He was going to make it difficult for me by maybe picking nasty bits, but honestly, this was. I don't want to say it was a difficult pick because obviously I've made it pretty clear that Almost Famous is my favorite movie of all time and. Naturally, Stillwater is a huge part of that. But Nasty Bits, Chris said it. They really did have some good music in that show. The music was definitely the best part of that show. They had a lot of good energy to their music. But at the end of the day, yeah, still it's Stillwater for me. I mean, Fever Dog obviously is the hit. It's a big step forward for them. But they've got a great, rich discography. And honestly, their style of 70s rock is just catnip for me. So yeah, Stillwater.
Okay, and that is the fourth vote for Stillwater. So now we want to hear from Steven. Steven, is it a sweep?
Yeah, it should be a sweep. You know, I'm never going to get to see Clearance, Clearwater Revival in concert. So if I lived in a universe where Stillwater was playing, I guess I would see them and still not be able to hear Clearance. But it would be okay because I've got a cheap knockoff that almost sounds like it.
All right, so that does... put Stillwater in the next round with a sweep. So now we'll be moving on to our second pick of the evening. And we've got the third seed of the Sex Bob-ombs versus the 15 seed of 15? Really? Wow, of Pink Slip. So our first pick tonight will be Jeff via me. And this is what Jeff has to say. Sex Bob-omb over Pink Slip. Nice run, Pink Slip, but that's it. So that is going to give Pink Slip its... No, that is going to give Sex Bob-omb its first vote. So next we're going to hear from Joel. Joel, what do you think?
Lindsay Lohan is a minor. Lindsay Lohan is a minor. no, I've got to go Sex Bob-omb too. Scott versus Pilgrim versus the World is just such an amazing movie. I love it completely. That's up there as far as one of my top movies as well. So I got to go for them.
All right, so that is another vote for Sex Bob-omb. So now we're going to kick it on over to Mike. Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, Jeff said it best. Here ends the Cinderella story. I think Pink Slip had a very impressive run. It was bolstered by some relatively weak competition, but this is clearly Sex Bob-omb. I mean, lo-fi garage rock is much more my style. They have a much broader palette of songs. And then they're certainly the band that I'd much more be interested in seeing live. So, yeah, Sex Bob-omb.
All right. So that is the third vote for Sex Bob-omb. So they will be moving on to the next round. But let's hear from Steven.
Lindsay Lohan is no longer a minor. Lindsay Lohan is no longer a minor. I'm sorry. Well, I got distracted by something else. no, this is a clear one, too. I think it's... probably hurts us that Pink Slip doesn't have a very big discography that we get to hear, but I feel like it's a band where pretty much every single song sounds the same, and at least with Sex Bob-omb, you know they're capable of growing and changing. So, yeah, I'd rather go to a Sex Bob-omb concert.
Okay, so that is the fourth vote for Sex Bob-omb, so now we want to hear from Chris. Chris, is it a sweep?
Lindsay Lohan still acts like Lindsay Lohan. Lindsay Lohan still acts like Lindsay Lohan.
Hey, crazy fucks.
Ugh. Well, maybe she's a homewrecker, Steven. Who knows? So I'm a little confused here because when I locked in my vote, I locked in for Powerline. And I don't know exactly what happened. I like garage rock. I do. Maybe I don't get it because I'm not the biggest Scott Pilgrim fan, but I'm not the big fan of the music from Scott Pilgrim versus the World. Sex Bob-omb is not my cup of tea. But there is not a chance in hell I'm voting for Lindsay Lohan and I almost called the band Tight Pink, and that's not what the band's name is. Pink Slip. No, there's not a chance in hell I'm voting for that. I will go see Sex Bomb in concert well before I see it, even though I know that Leah and I, Leah has a list of actors that she can't stand. This is one we actually agree with. Neither one of us can really stand Michael Cera.
Nope.
So Sex Bomb still gets my vote, though.
All right, so that is the second sweep of the evening. So we've got Sex Bomb moving it to the next round, and it will be facing Stillwater. But we got to find out who's going to finish off that next round. So for our third pick, we've got the 1 seed of the Blues Brothers versus the 12 seed of B-Sharps or 5 Sharps. B-Sharps?
B-Sharps.
Okay, B-Sharps. All right. And we're going to start out with this pick with Joel. Joel, what do you think?
I have been championing the B-Sharps all the way now. I think it's one of the most original of the fictional bands that's on the list. However, I think their time has come. They can't match the Blues Brothers for me. The Blues Brothers is just so classic. And by Blues Brothers, I'm referring to the Dan Aykroyd, John Belushi original first version, not any of these new reboots that's been happening afterwards and stuff. But yeah, Blues Brothers all the way for me.
All right, so that is one vote for the Blues Brothers. Mike, what do you think?
Joel took the words right out of my mouth. I've also been a B-Sharps champion. They're a lot of fun. I think I said it before. It's basically what the Beatles, if the Beatles had been a barbershop quartet. You know, it's an entertaining story, and they've got some really good, catchy songs. But even if they titled their second album Bigger Than Jesus, they're not bigger than the Blues Brothers. Come on. The Blues Brothers are clearly more iconic. They're an absolute blast to watch. As Joel said, yes, we're talking about the original Dan Aykroyd, John Belushi lineup. I still think of that performance of Everybody Needs Somebody to Love in the movie. Like, it's just, that's epic. The Blues Brothers, they're an absolute blast. 100% Blues Brothers here. Sorry, B-Sharps. You had a great run, but you just, once you hit a juggernaut, you get blown up.
All right, so that is the second vote for the Blues Brothers. So let's hear from Steven.
Yeah, it's not even close here, because the truth is the Blues Brothers band is probably pound for pound the most talented band on this entire list, just because it's composed of these amazing, great musicians. And then, you know, Dan Aykroyd and John Belushi. But they are so charismatic, it still goes off, even though they're not great singers or not even really great dancers, or just kind of able to move funny. But I'd much rather watch them moving funny than the B-Sharps. So, Blues Brothers.
All right, so that gives us the third vote for the Blues Brothers, so they will be moving on, but let's see what Chris has to say.
So I walked into a bar and I asked them what type of music do they have here, and they told me they actually have both country and Western, both types. It's kind of nice. No, this is not close. Like, I'm not a Simpsons guy, so the B-Sharps had a really, really uphill climb to kind of get me on board. But it doesn't help the fact that the Blues Brothers is great music, at least from the bands that we're talking about here. It's really entertaining music, and the movie is phenomenal. Blues Brothers all the way.
All right, so that is the fourth vote for the Blues Brothers, but let's see what Jeff has to say. Blues Brothers over the B-Sharps, because B-Sharp isn't even a real note. Okay,
they music make that people joke in the show, by the way.
Okay, music people know their stuff, so I will trust what he has to say. So that will give us, folks, the third sweep of the evening, with the Blues Brothers making it to the next round over the B-Sharps. So going into our fourth matchup of the evening, will this sweep continue? We'll see. We're going to do the third seed of the Crucial Taunt versus the 2 seed of Jackson, Maine, and Allie. So we're going to start this one off with Mike. Mike, what do you think?
I think this one is going to be really interesting. I'm not sure if the sweep's going to continue. To me, this one is harder than any of the others on this side of the bracket. And it certainly was for me. Part of me really wants to go with Crucial Taunt. Their bass player can wail. She's quite easy on the eyes. But I think that when I think of Crucial Taunt, I think of them playing covers of other songs, and very good covers, but not really necessarily something where they add a little bit of maybe a heavier edge. But overall, that's kind of what they have. And it's it, you know, it's, they're a talented band, you know, and they would be a lot of fun to watch. But I think that Jackson Maine and Alley bring a little more of the goods. I think they've got the more original songs, and you know, and honestly, he's fantastic on guitar, and it's just, it's got that it's got a vibe that I really dig. I would go see both of these hands down. And as much as I would love to set up the Blues Brothers versus Crucial Taunt from Wayne's World Saturday Night Live type of matchup in the next round, I think I got to vote for Jackson Maine and Alley here.
All right, so that is one vote for Jackson Maine and Alley. Steven, what do you think?
Well, I think I'm going to hate myself a little bit here because I'm going to come off a little bit as a hipster, because I like Jackson Maine back when he was cool. I before that, when Alley joins him, he's not as good. Like, the best songs that he has are at the early part of the movie before they're a duo. And so if I was going to see a concert between the two, I feel like I would have a better experience overall with Crucial Taunt. Yeah, they're kind of a cover band, but they pick songs to cover that fucking rock. So I'm actually going to throw this to Wayne's World. I think if Jackson had stayed solo, like, you know, if he hadn't sold out, I would be with him. But No, we'll go with Wayne's World, Crucial Taunt.
Oh, folks, we have ourselves a game. We've got one vote for Crucial Taunt and one vote for Jackson Maine and Alley. What do you think, Chris?
I think the beginning of this bracket was three sweeps, and it kind of lulled us all into a false sense of security. And this is the rest of this bracket. I don't think we're going to have a sweep. I really don't. This is the toughest pick in the bracket for me because Crucial Taunt, I would totally go see them. They wail. And then Jackson Maine and Alley, while it's a newer band, is, you know, Bradley Cooper as Jackson Maine is solid. Like, he's actually a pretty damn good singer. Then you bring in the vocal talents that they really kind of explore later on with Alley, Lady Gaga's character. And it's for say nothing else, it's going to be an interesting concert. It's going to be a really interesting concert. Their vocal stylings don't seem like they should mesh anywhere near as well as they do in the movie. I'm throwing mine to Jackson Maine and Alley. I would go see that concert in a heartbeat. I think it would be very interesting. As much as I did want to eventually get to a point where it was an SNL matchup at some point. But no, I got to give mine to Jackson Maine and Alley.
Okay, so that is two votes for Jackson Maine and Alley and one vote for Crucial Taunt. Let's see what Jeff has to say. Crucial Taunt over Jackson Maine and Alley. Just more nostalgia attached to that one for me. So that gives one more vote to Crucial Taunt. So folks, we have a tie going into our final vote. So that means that we have an opportunity for our voters to use a buzzer beater. I have no idea who has used a buzzer beater yet. Everyone still has them for this round?
Everyone has them. Brand new round.
Super. So anyone except for Joel can use their buzzer beater if they want to try to convince Joel to vote one way or the other. Would anyone like to use their buzzer beater on this matchup?
I trust Joel.
I don't.
That.
Does that mean you would like to
launch a buzzer beater? No, I can't. There's too much other stuff here you guys can fuck up.
All right, so Joel, that means it is up to you to F this up as much or as little as you want. So what do you think?
All right. Well, I got to admit, Steven brought up a very good point. And that is, of the entire movie A Star Is Born, my favorite song is the opening song in the concert, Jackson Maine pre-Alley. And so that kind of made me think about this a little bit and go, okay, well, maybe I'm, if I can't separate these two, how would that change this? And then I looked up Crucial Taunt and realized that Tia Carrera is actually a trained singer and gave up a spot on Baywatch to take the Wayne's World gig because of her talents as a singer and stuff. So she actually sang all of those things, and that was actually her voice in there. And so that kind of gave her a little more street cred to me. That being said, looking at videos and all that kind of stuff, I got to give the vote to Tia Carrera and Crucial Taunt.
Wow.
Wow.
Sorry for the upset, guys.
That's okay. Honestly, I don't think you can go wrong. And right now, I'm just imagining Tia Carrera on Baywatch, so it's all good here.
Right?
Right, so everybody wins, apparently. Except for Jackson, Maine, and Ellie, because they were just eliminated by the 3 seed of Crucial Taunt. So Crucial Taunt will be moving on to the next round to face the Blues Brothers, which should be very interesting. So now we're going to go ahead and move over to our next matchup, which is the Long Rangers.
The Lone Rangers.
Okay, your bracket said long, so good to know. The Lone Rangers versus Hedwig and the Angry Inch. That's Hedwig and the Angry Inch. And so the Lone Rangers is an 8 seed. Hedwig is a 5 seed. So, Steven, start us off on this one.
Yeah, I've been championing Hedwig and the Angry Inch this whole time, and I'm not going to stop now. I think it's legitimately one of the best rock shows that you can go see. Like, if any of those songs, like if Exquisite Copes or Midnight Radio came on just a regular rock station, you would have no clue that it was a fictional band from a musical. You would just bang your head along with it because it's fucking awesome. And it can be really tender, too. Wiggle the Box is a really touching song, or Long Grift is a really touching, moving song. Even divorced from the show that it's from, each one of those songs works independently. And that's something that I don't think a lot of fictional bands hear, unless they're kind of the cover bands that are just doing songs that exist free of the material anyway. I think Hedwig achieves that way, way more than the Lone Rangers do. So I'm not against the Lone Rangers. I would go see them if they were in town. Hedwig and the Angry Inch, all the way for me.
All right, so that is one vote for Hedwig and the Angry Inch. Chris, you are up.
The movie Airheads is a comfort film for me because I can turn that movie on and watch it at any point in time, and I'm going to find that movie freaking hilarious. I love literally everything about that movie. I think it's really good. It's genuinely a feel-good movie for me, and I would watch the Lone Rangers in concert at the drop of a hat. Regardless of if they were actually Brendan Fraser, Steve Buscemi, and Adam Sandler or not, I'd still go watch it because the music is fun. Like, it's you know, what, late 80s, early 90s hair metal. It's fun music. But Hedwig and the Angry Inch, you were with me. We saw that show on Broadway. And it didn't feel like a Broadway show. It legitimately felt like you're at a rock show watching someone mentally break down throughout the entirety of the concert. And it's a unique experience, but there wasn't a song on that set list that I wouldn't turn on. I'm going to have more fun at a Hedwig concert. So I'm going Hedwig and the Angry Inch.
Okay. So that was the second vote for Hedwig. We are now going to Jeff, which his thoughts on it are Hedwig over Lone Rangers. The music is just so much better. So that does put Hedwig at 3 votes. So we'll be moving on to the next round, but let's hear from Joel. Joel, what do you think?
Chaz, Rex, and Pip go hard. I love the Airheads movie, and I admit Hedwig and the Angry Inch. It is a phenomenal story, a phenomenal musical. The music in there is absolutely great. But, you know, Chris was talking about the nostalgia of Airheads and stuff. You know, when I started thinking about this, now this is kind of an interesting matchup because these are both parts of movies and stuff. So I had to think, okay, so which one would I want to pop in and watch again? Which one would I want to hear again? That kind of stuff. And I love the Airheads still. That's kind of one of those desert island kind of movies for me. So I'm going to go with Against the Grain, although it doesn't do much good, and go Airheads with the Lone Rangers.
Okay, so the Lone Rangers do pick up a vote, but Mike, is that going to be its only vote, or will it be picking up another one?
I am glad to see Airheads get a little love. Like Chris said, it's been a very long time since I've seen Airheads, but during the 90s in particular, when it was on Comedy Central basically every Saturday in the mid-afternoon, like that was just one of those movies I would just pop on. I would tune in anytime, always enjoy it, always a blast. Honestly learned a lot about music that I didn't completely know at that time. That was kind of one of my gateway drugs into becoming a little bit more of a music fan. And the Lone Rangers, they're fun. They're a fun band. They're a little bit more of an opening act, I'd say. Like, I could see them on, you know, as one of the first bands on a 90s nostalgia tour, like if they were on the Everclear Summerland, you know, show or something like that. And I'm here for it. It'd be great. I'm glad they got a vote from Joel, but it is going to be their only vote here. Hedwig and the Angry Inch doesn't have nearly the nostalgia factor because I was unfamiliar with it until we started this bracket. But man, the music is incredible. And we'll be talking about it more in the next round, but they do get my vote.
Awesome. Well, we will be talking about them in the next round because with that, Hedwig and the Angry Inch picks up 4 votes against 1 against the Lone Rangers, and we'll be moving on. So our next matchup is going to be the 3 seed of the Soggy Bottom Boys versus the 2 seed of the Wonders. This should be interesting. So to start us off, we're going to start with Chris. Chris, what are your thoughts?
I'm thinking I didn't want to go first on this one because I have no idea. Oh, my God. So a lot has been made about the fact that that thing you do is a one-hit wonder, and that would you want to go see the Wonders play a full concert? I don't know. That thing you do is a really catchy freaking song. And then earlier today, what happened to be on TV but Oh Brother Where Art Thou? And the Soggy Bottom Boys is just, it's fun, but it's so interesting music. It's really interesting music. So interesting. There you go. Good job, Chris. Words are good. I'm just going to have to lock in my pick here and just kind of go with my heart, though. I think I would actually rather see a Soggy Bottom Boys concert than I would a one-hit wonder of the Wonders. So I'm going Soggy Bottom Boys, and please don't break up with me.
Okay. So that's one vote for the Soggy Bottom Boys.
Jeff is here.
Just in time.
I am here.
Awesome. Well, so I can't hijack your vote now.
Nope.
Not that I've done that.
Yeah, were you going to hijack my vote, Leah?
Yeah, I was.
Great job voting for Pink Slip over Sex Bombs. Okay, thanks.
Wait a second.
How the hell did you vote against Stillwater? Second. What the hell, dude?
Seriously.
Okay, cool. All right, so talk about timing, because this was actually one of the more interesting ones for me, because they're both kind of bands that have one song. They're both bands that are largely the center of their various movies, and they're both bands that make their movies a lot of fun. And obviously, Oh Brother, Where Art Thou is one of my favorite movies of all time. I end up quoting it endlessly. But that's not actually the reason I'm going to vote for the Soggy Bottom Boys here. The reason is, so there's a festival in Raleigh every year. The International Bluegrass Musicians Association puts on a festival, a street full of people coming out and listening to bluegrass music. Tens of thousands of people thronging the streets of downtown Raleigh to do this festival. It's our biggest festival of the year. And it doesn't happen without the Soggy Bottom Boys. The Soggy Bottom Boys almost single-handedly revived the genre of bluegrass for the younger, then younger generation, now middle-aged generation, I suppose, that has then carried that forward into a lot of new life for a lot of new and interesting musicians. Plenty of musicians would not have the careers they have today if the Soggy Bottom Boys hadn't defeated Jim Crow fascism with Man of Constant Sorrow somehow. gotta give your vote to the Soggy Bottom Boys here just for that reason.
All right, so that is the second vote for the Soggy Bottom Boys. So that moves us over to Joel. Joel, what would you vote?
Yeah, Jeff kind of said a lot of what weighed in this for me. We tossing between the Soggy Bottom Boys and the Oneaters. I gotta admit, That Thing You Do is an extremely infectious earworm of a song. My wife just watched it like a couple weeks ago, and my God, I can't get that stinking song out of my head. However, of the two bands and their hit song, That Thing You Do and Man of Constant Sorrow, only one of these has actually won Grammys and made it on the charts, peaked at number 35 on Billboard's Hot 100, I got to hand it to the Soggy Bottom Boys. Like I said, they resurged a genre of music and opened it up to a lot of people who would have never given it a try if not.
All right, so that does give the Soggy Bottom Boys their third vote to move on to the next round. But let's see how the other votes shape up. Mike, what would you think?
I was just thinking with the Wonders here, we have the second band in this Sweet 16 whose story was based largely on the story of the Beatles. The B-sharps obviously being the barbershop kind of variant on that. They took a lot of stuff from the Beatles' career. And then obviously the Oneaters, they even mentioned that they're calling themselves the Oneaters with the 1-der to kind of make a kind of pun the way the Beatles did with Beat and Beatles. And a lot of that stuff is based on the Beatles. I think that just speaks to the fact that the actual Beatles career was so improbable that you make fiction in it and it's not even as interesting. This is the Soggy Bottom Boys for me as well. And honestly, what seals it, I was thinking about this, I don't think we've mentioned him yet. Tommy on guitar. I don't give a shit if he sold his soul to the devil or not. Hot damn, that man can play. And I think he would be great to see live in concert. So Soggy Bottom Boys are getting my vote.
All right. So that brings the Soggy Bottom Boys up to 4 votes. But let's hear from Steven. Finish it off for us.
Yeah, it is interesting that the Soggy Bottom Boys use bluegrass to end racism in the South, considering that bluegrass kind of exists because of racism in the South. It's basically, we need to make black music that's acceptable for white people to hear, is how that genre came around. But then it is interesting that these are actually both one-hit wonders. Like, I've knocked the Wonders a few times because, like, I don't know what the rest of their music would sound like. And the same is true for the Soggy Bottom Boys, but only one of these has the possibility of having a washed-up bass play on stage. And you're not going to see that often, so I'd rather go to a Soggy Bottom Boys concert. So, Soggy Bottom Boys.
All right, folks, we have logic. Another sweep on our hands. So the Soggy Bottom Boys have defeated the 2-seed of the Wonders. As I go and cry in the corner, we are going to go ahead and move on to our 7th matchup of the evening. This will be our 1-seed of Spinal Tap versus the 4-seed of Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem. So to start this one off, we're going to start with Jeff.
Yeah, this one wasn't even particularly close. Spinal Tap absolutely deserves it. The music is better. The movie is an absolute classic. Yeah, the Muppets are fun, but someone can reward them with a set piece of Stonehenge that might actually be about their size. So maybe they can make use of the thing that Michael McKean almost stepped on during during their performance. Spinal Tap. You have my vote.
All right, so that is 1 vote for Spinal Tap. Joel, do you agree or disagree with Jeff's assessment?
It's interesting. I always pictured Spinal Tap as a little bit of a play off of the Beatles too, the way that the girlfriend comes in and causes the band to break up and separate and then come back towards the end. But man, this was definitely the toughest one for me. Both comedic legends, I think, in their own right as well. But I've got money on it, so I'm going to be that asshole and go Dr. Teeth.
Okay, so that is one vote for Dr. Teeth and the Electric Man. Mike, let's take it over to you. What do you think?
Damn it. I hate this matchup because I love both of these. But when I'm being honest with myself, there is a clear winner here, and it's Spinal Tap. Because they work both as a send-up of Rock and Roll Excess, but also a damn good band in their own right. But while I was thinking about this, I came up with my perfect world scenario. In a perfect world, instead of going through a series of drummers, one of which spontaneously combusts, Spinal Tap just steals Animal from Electric Mayhem, just like the Beatles stole Ringo from Rory Sturm of the Hurricanes. And that's like the greatest band that has ever existed. Greatest fictional band, certainly, that has ever existed. It may end up being the greatest fictional band anyway. But yeah, I got to give my vote to Spinal Tap here.
Okay, so that is a second vote for Spinal Tap. Steven, what do you think?
Yeah, I went back and forth on this one a lot. At first, I thought I was definitely going to pick Spinal Tap, because when I think of Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem, I always think of it like that 70s acid rock, which is good in small doses, but if I had to sit through a full concert, it would very quickly bore me. But you know, that's not true. That's not fair to that band, because Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem can play fucking anything, and they have been doing it for decades now. They're the most reinventive band of all the ones on this list, because they've been around forever, and they play literally everything that's ever been popular they've covered. So for a long time, I was going to go with Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem.
And then, end right there.
And then I realized that they're tangentially related, being Muppets, to the saddest thing ever recorded on video, which of course is Big Bird singing "It's Not Easy Being Green" at Jim Henson's funeral. And I cannot bear to think about that again, particularly when he puts his hand on the casket, looks into the sky, and says, "Goodbye, Kermie." And now that you're
my God,
I'm going to vote for Spinal Tap.
You got to go there, man. That
thing on the internet. All sobbing right now.
Okay. Okay. I've got it all together. I'm holding it together. That is the third and final vote for Spinal Tap. That does move them on. However, we still want to hear from Chris. Chris, are you going to vote for essentially a rock band or the band that's going to break your heart into a million pieces?
I'm not a Muppets guy. Spinal Tap gets my vote.
Okay.
What?
Okay, that seemed pretty easy. So yeah, with that, the number one seed of Spinal Tap does move on to the next round. So let's check in and see who it is going to face. Will it be the 3 seed of School of Rock or the 2 seed of Mouse Rat? And to start it off, we're going to start with Joel.
Okay, I need a clarification real quick, because here was my thought process. Do we ever actually hear Mouse Rat the band play? Or is it all just Andy telling us about the band?
So I've watched a lot of Parks and Rec. I know that they at least play at the old people's concert, and then we hear them play The Pit one time. Oh, and they play the Bye Bye Little Sebastian in the original final episode.
Well, did they do the Unity concert? Like season 6? And they play. Okay. They also play on.
It's not Mouse Rat though. It's all the people from the Parks and Rec department and Andy.
Okay, but they were also on the telethon that that Leslie had.
Yes.
Okay. All right. Good. So I wanted to make sure that I was taking that into consideration and the band and not just Andy and his songs or his performances in there. Man, this is kind of a tough one, you know. And like I said, I love the credit of Mouse Rat and the comedic timing and that kind of stuff. The 160 something names, I think, that they've come up with alternate names for them. But the thing that always seals it for me is that ending jam in the credits of School of Rock, where they go through each individual kid and they just let them kind of wail and teach them how to let loose and rock and roll. Man, that's just such a great heartfelt moment and some phenomenal music that they're doing. They were covering an AC/DC tune and that kind of stuff, but I gotta give them credit for that. So I gotta go School of Rock for me.
All right, so that is one vote for School of Rock. That brings us over to Mike.
Yeah, this one's a little unfair because I, even though it's always been on my list, I've just never gotten around to watching Parks and Rec. But as I think I alluded to in previous episodes, based on the clips that I saw of Mouse Rat, I was extremely pleasantly surprised. I expected it to be a little bit more of a joke, and I was very happy to see that they were not only real, but like actually very talented and had some very good songs. It just doesn't have necessarily the emotional weight for me that I think I would have if I had watched the series. And really, Jeff said something in the last episode that kind of sealed this for me. He talked about how in School of Rock and the School of Rock band, you see a lot of the support staff and all of the other things that goes into just making a great rock concert. You get to see the backup singers. You get to see the people that do the lightings, and each one of them has their own character beats and their own story to it. And all of that, you know, most people who go to a rock and roll show, they don't think about the guy in the sound booth, but he is, or she is, very often just as responsible for the experience that you're having as a lot of the guys on stage, which is not to take anything away from the guys on stage. But I think School of Rock as an ensemble is such an interesting and fascinating band to watch. And those kids are just so talented that I think that at the end of the day, they would be the one that would be an absolute blast to see live. So I got to give them my vote here.
All right, so that is a second vote for School of Rock. Let's bring it over to Steven.
Yeah, this one I think is the toughest one in this bracket. Because School of Rock is clearly top to bottom the more talented band. Those kids are fucking amazing. Mouse Rat, the joke is that they're kind of a bad Dave Matthews knockoff band. But they're actually not a bad Dave Matthews knockoff band. They're just a Dave Matthews knockoff band. They're actually pretty good. They're enjoyable to listen to. They even, you know, we discussed last time, they put out an album. That album's totally listenable to, even if you haven't been a Parks and Rec fan. I think, and maybe this is just because I'm such a big Parks and Rec fan, but I think I would have a better time at a Mouse Rat concert. If for no other reason, then there would be a lot more chaos going on, so it'd be a lot more interesting to watch. So, Mouse Rat.
All right, so Mouse Rat does pick up a vote, so let's move it on over to Chris.
What's the score right now?
It is two votes of School of Rock to one vote of Mouse Rat.
Okay, so I want to spend my time going over some of these because these are freaking hilarious. The alternate band names for Mouse Rat mentioned throughout Parks and Rec. Now, this is a huge list. I'm not going to go all of them. I'm going to kind of hit some of my favorites. Alabaster Fart, Andy and the Non-Andes, Crackfinger, Death of a Scam Artist, Department of Homeland Obscurity, Eclair Danes, Five Skin, not Foreskin, Five Skin, Funkin' Go Nuts, God Hates Figs, Harriet Tub Thumping, Jet Black Pope, Mouth Smash, Muscle Confusion, Newt Guinea Pig, Ninja Dick, Pearl Jelly. Two Doors Down is the last one that really made me laugh.
I liked Nothing Rhymes with Orange followed by Everything Rhymes with Orange.
I left a couple of them out. So this is weird because these are obviously two actors that are playing frontman in shows, but like legitimately would see either of these bands in concert. They're both really good. What's tilting the scales for me is the fact that I have no doubt that School of Rock is the better overall quote-unquote band, but I think Teacher's Pet is the only song from that band that I know. I know multiple Mouse Rat songs. Since someone brought it up, there actually is a Spotify playlist and an actual band of Mouse Rat. Like, I've gone and downloaded that. And because of that and the ridicule from Steven, I know that it is, in fact, 5,000 Candles in the Wind. No, I'm going Mouse Rat. I would rather watch that group in concert. I don't care if it's a smoky bar. I don't care if Duke Silver's there or not. I'm going to watch a Mouse Rat concert, and I'm going to have fun.
Okay, so that is a second vote for Mouse Rat. And folks, to end our 16-seed round, we have another opportunity for a buzzer beater. So I don't think anyone has used a buzzer beater yet. So
I'll lodge it.
Okay. Who was that, Mike?
That was me.
That's Mike. All right, try to sway Jeff one way or the other.
Jeff, here's the thing. This is what I think is going to sway you more than anything else. We have an opportunity to have a Elite Eight that has 4-3 seeds in it. All 4-3 seeds in the Elite Eight. I'm not sure that's ever happened. That's a really interesting and kind of cool thing. And if it weren't for Hedwig and the Angry Inch, we would have the opportunity for 4 1-versus-3 matchups. But still, 4-3 seeds in the Elite Eight. That's really cool. Not to mention 2 to the power of, yep, you guessed it, 3 is 8. Coincidence? You decide.
Wow. The gematria there is very difficult to argue with. And as much of a numerology fan as I am, I was kind of already leaning that way anyway. I think what pushed it over for me is that Mouse Rat, for as interesting as their songs are, and as much as any Parks and Rec fan will immediately tear up at the Bye Bye Little Sebastian song, they were ultimately a side gag. They were the maybe a quasi focus of a couple of episodes. I don't think they were ever the A story on any episode that I can remember. And School of Rock, you cared about the whole band for the whole movie. You watched the band form, however dishonestly, and cared deeply about all of this, probably even more than you did about Jack Black. And I think that's what pushes it over for me, that you watch School of Rock and you're way more invested in their success than you are if you watch Wreck and you think about Mouse Rat. Mouse Rat is a Parks and Rec fan. Yeah, it's there and it's funny, but it's not the center. School of Rock really is, and I think School of Rock deserves to move on for that reason.
All right, and with that, School of Rock does secure its third and final vote to bring it on to the round of the Elite Eight. So just to recap, here are our picks going into the next round. We will have the 1 seed of Stillwater versus the 3rd seed of Sex Bob-omb. We will have the 1 seed of the Blues Brothers versus the 3rd seed of Crucial Taunt. Then we will have the 5 seed of Hedwig and the Angry Inch versus the 3 seed of Soggy Bottom Boys. And then finally, we'll have the 1 seed of Spinal Tap versus the 3rd seed of School of Rock. Chris, why don't you tell everyone where you can find us on the socials?
Hey, everybody. Yeah. So if you're enjoying the Boozy Bracketology podcast, a couple things you can do. You've heard me say this before, but patreon.com/PTEBB is your exclusive home for all of our bonus content for not just Boozy Bracketology, but our sister podcast, The Pub Trivia Experience. Just dropping in the last couple of, in the last week or so, has been the first of our two-part bonus bracket examining the work of the Coen brothers. We're going to find out what the best Coen brothers film is, and that features 3 of the voices you've heard here tonight: Mike, Steven, and Jeff. if you can't afford to donate right now, or not even donate, you're getting stuff out of it. You get stuff out of it. But if you can't afford to contribute right now, I get it. Like, Christmas is coming up. We've all been there. Do me a favor. 5-star rating, write us a review. That would be awesome. Also, come hang out with us. The Lounge on Facebook. The Lounge, fans of pub trivia experience and boozy bracketology. Come on there. Tell us what we got right, what we got wrong, and what you're drinking. Be like Tim Dipple, but a little bit nicer. That would be great. Love you, Tim. Instagram, boozy bracketology. Twitter at boozy brackets. Leah, back to you.
Okay, well, that ends our round of 16 tonight. Please tune in next time to hear the Elite Eight. And for Boozy Bracketology, I have been Leah.
I'm Chris.
I'm Jeff.
I'm Joel.
I'm Mike.
And I'm Steven.
Have a great night, everyone.